this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, cause it's now.
Hello, and welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, or JARP for short. I'm one of your two hosts, Sean.
And I'm the other... Oh, I'm going to read my script. And I'm... yeah, you did something here, didn't you?
Yeah. Don't you personalize it every time?
Of course.
I change it a little bit. Yeah. All right. Okay, we're going to try this again.
Okay, here we go.
Hello! Hello, and welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, Take 2. Or JARP for short. I'm one of your two hosts, Sean.
And I'm the better half, Russ. Like we're two married people. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, prayers, and latest dirty jokes at jarppodcast@gmail.com. That's jarppodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, this podcast is pop. Yeah, this podcast is meant. Yes, yes, we're not doing so good here. Take three. This podcast is meant to be a companion for you post episode. And this time we are talking episode one of Netflix's Sweet Tooth.
And if you haven't seen the first episode of Netflix's Sweet Tooth, take a pause and go watch it. And if not, well, then there are spoilers ahead. So you've been warned. But alongside our review of Sweet Tooth, we're also pairing it with a movie from our childhood.
Yes, yes, a very special movie. We are trying our best to match these current series with movies from our childhood, with hopefully similar themes and stuff like that. And this week I've chosen the legendary 1991 film, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Terminator. I am the Terminator. Quick, come with me if you want to live.
You'll be back.
In the chopper.
Do it. Come in now.
Why? So we're doing our best to match these current series with movies from our childhood. What are the themes that you pulled out from Sweet Tooth and Terminator 2?
A young boy on the run being hunted, and a larger than life protector. I kind of just went off those two.
Big man.
A big man. And there was a line in the show Sweet Tooth, and, the young boy Gus was trying to fool the giant guy, Tommy, and saying that his dad would be back and that his dad was actually bigger than him. And then Tommy's response was, well, they don't make them bigger than me or whatever. And then that just, I don't know, when he said that, it just made me think of
Arnold
Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2, like a giant protector. So, I think as we deep in a little bit, there are similar themes here.
I like it, man. That's good. That's good.
They don't make it bigger than me. Can you?
Yeah, I think at first you're like, huh, how does it match up? But then when you kind of look at little pieces, it's like, oh, it does kind of actually fall into place. So yes, this is Sweet Tooth, a Netflix original, starring Will Forte MacGruber as the father, Pooba. A Christian Convery plays the young Gus, and Anonzo Anozie plays Big Man Tommy. This was spearheaded by Jim Mickle. He worked on the DC comic, which was written and drawn by Jeff Lemire. Lemire. He had some help. I thought Jim took care of it all.
No, but Jeff was there.
Jeff was there to draw and help write.
See, I have a buddy named Jeff Lemire who lives up in Canada. And he gets a lot of messages, people trying to contact the artist, Jeff Lemire.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know if he just gets confused. People get him confused, but his email address is, I guess, is very generic. So he gets a lot of emails of people trying to get in contact with this Jeff Lemire character.
Popular guy. Netflix obviously likes him, working on their show.
Yeah.
Lots of producers on this, but two that stand out is a Mr. and Mrs. Robert Downey Jr., his wife Susan Downey, and Mr. Robert Downey Jr. are executive producers on this bad boy, which is a boy who is half human and half deer survives in a post-apocalyptic world with other halfies.
I've never seen.
Oh, can I say that? Can I say that word?
Halfies?
Halfies?
As a halfie myself, I'm okay with it. I've never seen a deer before.
I've never seen one like this before.
Yeah.
Sure is pretty.
Yeah.
Let's pet him.
This poachers. Now, he had poachers. 3 points. Then no one ever seen a hybrid so old.
A three-pointed.
Three-pointed.
A three-pointed boy deer.
Not only right, that, look. Is he could talk. That was big. That was big.
Well, we'll get into that. Let's get into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots to get into.
There is. Let's do it. Episode 1. Out of the Deep Woods. The coronavirus has mutated at a local movie theater.
What?
And people are... Wait, sorry.
Oh my gosh, what?
No, wait, that was Outbreak. Sorry. Okay, wait. Viral outbreak has started ravaging planet Earth. What started as a few cases quickly multiplied overnight into a global pandemic. Are you okay? You got the COVID?
What came first?
The chicken or the egg? Doctors are struggling to cure the sick and decipher what is happening. At the same time, a phenomenon is happening. Half-human, half-animal hybrids are piling up in the maternity wards. Which started first? The virus or the halfies? I don't know. Pubba, played by Will Forte, has packed his infant son, Gus, a rare deer hybrid boy, into the thick, secluded forest to raise him off-grid and out of sight, safe from poachers. Years go by, they fend for themselves until they are finally contacted by a wanderer who seems innocent in his questioning, only to vanish after marking where Pubba and Gus have been. Pubba secures Gus back at the cabin to go deal with their new guests, only to return mortally wounded and leaving a young Gus all alone. After spending all this time alone, Gus decides to wander in the forest, eventually lured and trapped by another set of poachers. He's then rescued by a rifle-wielding stranger, Big Boy Tommy. The big man befriends little Gus briefly before continuing on his way. And now Gus is tired of living on the other side of the fence, tracks behind Tommy, eventually catching up to him and pleading with the big man to... Take me with you! End episode.
Whoa, clap, clap, clap.
I really liked how it ended. I got chills when he was standing on the cliff and he yelled, he's like, hey, big man! Take me with you! I was like, oh, man, here we go. We're off. We're on. This is going to be a bit of an adventure.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I haven't watched episode 2 yet. It's been...
No,
been tough.
I know.
It's been tough.
We had to wait a month here to get this episode going.
We've been sitting
on it for a long time.
For sure. We've had some hiccups, which has delayed this one, but we watched it way back. And I can't wait to watch episode 2.
Yeah.
Will Forte, MacGruber. I love that guy.
Did you see The Last Man on Earth?
No. No. Again, it's another post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, exactly. And it's based again on it. Well, I guess there is a comic called Why the Last Man. I don't think that was really based off it, but there's some similarities for sure. But it was quite good. So it's interesting that that they casted Will Forte here because he's kind of get that same kind of crazed loner look of like surviving the apocalypse feel that I guess they thought, well, we can get Will Forte. People recognize him as someone who's living off the grid. I wonder if they asked for a Will Forte type and then they ended up just getting Will Forte.
Yeah, probably.
Good on you, casting agent.
I like the sort of, obviously, now that we know it was James Brolin, not Josh Brolin, but like a bit of the sort of like the David Attenborough introduction at the beginning, like once about takes you for a little synopsis for about 10 minutes or so on the beginning of the 5-10 minutes of the episode, you know. Back in the day, there was a virus and the virus got bad.
But it's a little bit of the drawl, the American drawl. I'm going to sit around the campfire. I want to tell you a story.
Yeah.
You're automatically comforted and you're like, not Sweet Tooth. Oh, come on, Granddad. Tell me good one about Big Man and Sweet Tooth.
Big Man and Sweet Tooth.
I wonder if he's going to, like Ron Howard it throughout the whole series, or if this is just kind of a maybe a bookend to the beginning of the season and the end of the season. I'll be interested to see if he kind of stays the narrator throughout the whole. I guess I could have just looked at the Internet Movie Database to see how many episodes he's credited on.
Yeah, you know, if he's in two, he bookends it. If he's in all 8, 9, 10 of them, then he does. Yeah, that'd be nice if he continues on to kind of chime in every now and then. It's nice. It's got like the kind of Wonder Years vibe to it. But yeah, I like it. Production value on this show is really high. Yeah. They spent some coin on this. So the writing's really good. The story's really good. Yeah, you're just kind of, you don't really know exactly what's going on. You could tell there's a lot of setup here in this first episode.
Yeah.
But
really good pace, like you said, like just really, even like setting that stage and just sort of introducing all these characters. I thought it was just really well paced. Didn't seem to, slow down at all. What did you think about the kid? I know you usually have an opinion on kid actors. Do you think they did the kid right?
I think he did an excellent job.
Yeah.
It wasn't annoying at all. He didn't like.
Although played by multiple actors through the first episode, I think they saw him. We saw him at a bunch of different stages.
Right. Yeah. I see. No complaints. Nothing stuck out as this just a kid actor trying to fill the void of a kid here that doesn't have the chops. No, they're good.
Yeah. So I think I think he's 9. I guess he's because Will Forte says he's been out here for 9 years.
Right.
Really good.
So his mom, do you think his mom was a deer and his dad just got kind of freaky?
And then he just found a picture in the back of he bought a frame once and there was a picture included in it, part of the sale of the frame. And that's the image of the woman he's carrying around. Yeah. Just like a beard.
But she was really a deer.
I really fucking deer.
Deer, it's your mom.
We swore.
Yeah,
that's a good question. What happened to his mom? I would assume it's alluding to the fact that mom died by the virus. The H5G9, the deadliest virus that we've ever seen. I would assume that's the case. But you never know. It's left open. So obviously she probably isn't dead. Because why would you kill her?
They kind of focus on that doctor at the beginning too. I wonder if he's going to come back into the fold at some point.
I would assume so. The narrator, I listened to it again a little bit today, watched it, listened to it, used my ears, used my eyes. but those were the only senses. Although I used the feels, I used my third eye, my emotion eye. They do say that the narrator says something about that he's another part of the story. Even though it's a quick bit on the doctor in the first episode, he does seem important to the story. Actor is Adil Akhtar. He's got great facial expressions. He was able to show within being just in the episode for a couple minutes. I loved how you could just tell with his facial expressions. You're like, here's a good guy just trying to do his best and he's just getting shit on. He obviously his wife I think dies. It's hard. I'm assuming she's on a course to dying, but he is obviously exposed to the virus very early on and he does not seem to be getting sick from it. So obviously if there's this post-apocalyptic world where there's some people left, the doctor's probably going to be one of them, but we don't know. All we do is we kind of just get introduced to him and get to see kind of his perspective as the virus starts to really impact the great crumble, as they call
it. And then we're off to the woods for the rest of the episode.
Off to the woods. What's the song? What's Into the Woods? Right? Giant Depp?
I don't know.
You didn't see the musical with a lot of people in it?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Into the Woods. That's all I got.
That's all you can say?
That's all I can do. I hate myself so much. So really cool Will Forte. Kid's doing really well. Unfortunately, it's hinting at these very dark moments. And I wonder if as the show progresses, if it's gonna get darker or if it's gonna stay kind of teasing, because there are a couple characters, poachers get killed in this episode. Will Forte goes away to kind of deal with an issue of someone who marked their camp, marked their fence line. And he comes back bloody, but you don't really know what happened to him or what happened to the other guy. And but yeah, Will Forte doesn't survive his injuries, and he dies probably, you know, 2/3 into the episode.
I believe it's, I don't think it's TVMA, but I think it might be TV 14.
So,
and I don't think we've seen anything other than maybe the poachers getting shot there that really constitutes TV 14 yet. So I think you're on to something. I think
it's gonna get dark.
Dark or a little bit more violent or weird, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Obviously, Gus thinks he's the only hybrid in existence, and then Tommy lets him know that there are others.
Right.
But I guess the fact that they talk is a bit of a rarity, or the fact that Gus actually talks.
Right.
Because the big guy seemed to be a little taken back that Gus could talk. So we're definitely going to meet some more halfies along the way here. So
and maybe halfies isn't the right thing, because maybe it's like they're more like 1/10ers, because really all he has is deer horns and deer ears, and then he's pretty much 99% human.
Right. And but then maybe the ones that don't talk are vice versa.
More of a 50-50
animal than
because when you see those babies in the hospital, like you see babies with like beaks and full like kind of full like animal face.
Well, snouts.
Snouts. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Is a snout can a dog can have a snout, right? Pig can have a snout.
Dogs have snouts.
Roof. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So we definitely saw that, and they were purring and chirping. So they did seem to have, they seem to be a lot more animal than our,
right. Whereas our sweet tooth Gus is very, human, just with, like you said, horns and some, CGI'd ears. Yeah. Did you look at his ears every now and then? They would do funky things when he was talking and stuff. You could tell they were obviously animated after the fact, but it was the little things that they did were pretty funny. You know, he heard something in the distance, and the one would kind of, you know, what deers do, you know, totally.
Yeah, he kind of like had hobbit hair, you know, like hair that would just like hide everything. And then I wonder if they had little like kind of green screen ears just to show. And then they were able to digitize it afterwards.
Something like that. Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I thought it was, I liked the foreshadowing in the beginning when they're following the doctor, and you see like Tommy as a football player on the screen. And there's a little bit of like, Tommy looks at the screen kind of, you know, with a little bit of a smirk and a wink.
Just so you kind of visually remember that you saw him.
Yeah, right? Nice little foreshadow. Yeah, yeah. And you know, because we've seen the commercial, so we know he's going to be in the show. So it's nice to just have a little fun with that. It is what it is. But when the doctor is taking his wife to the hospital, and he kind of exits his house, and the whole world's gone mad. Like it's downtown outbreak all over again, where everyone's just going butt crazy. He's got like people in orange jumpsuits wrestling his neighbors, like right in front of his house, helicopters crashing. Like it's just,
it looks like Dawn of the Dead almost.
Yeah. And everything's happening at that immediate moment, which is, was fun, but it's a little much. That kind
of how he was able to get her to the hospital.
Well, right. And like
half the city's trying to get to the hospital.
Exactly.
And he's just like, out of my way. And he's got no identification
on him whatsoever. He's got like, doesn't even look like a doctor, but he's just passing cops who seem to be fighting everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for but some they give reason, him,
he yeah. gets a pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, pretty good. I really liked it. I can't wait to watch more of it.
Yeah, see what Tommy and Gus get up to. They're obviously Gus wants to make it to Colorado, where the hybrid sanctuary is, you know, where they all take refuge. So he's got to make his journey to Colorado. Now, will this Tommy guy take him there? I think so.
Yeah, they kind of when the poachers find him and they realize he can talk, they see he's older and bigger. They're like, what should we do with him? And they're like, should we take him to the lab? And then he's like, no, let's take him back east. So there's obviously there's different within this world now. There's different areas that we might see later on in the series. Like, what is that lab? What's back east? when you say they go, they're going to go to Colorado, is that east of where they are currently? Do we know that?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
And there you go. Maybe they're going the same place.
Yeah, I think they're on the west coast a little bit. And now he's got to make it over to Colorado. So yes, he's got to go eastbound.
Go east, like Fievel.
Life is peaceful there. Go east. There in the eastern air.
Go east.
Something, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are going great. East.
You ready to rate this?
Oh, do you have predictions? Nope. You want to do predictions first, or do you want to rate it?
I don't have a really prediction.
Well, here, let me ask you some questions then.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Q&A time.
Okay, what came first, the hybrids or the virus?
Virus.
Virus, okay. This is a story about a very special boy, Gus. Why is Gus special?
He holds the key to something.
Okay.
Is it in his blood?
Is it blood? Or is it the fact he can talk so he can speak for the other hybrids? He can show the world that hybrids aren't just animals. I'm not an animal.
I think there you go. That's his, is that he's more human. He has more of a human side,
right,
than the other hybrids. And he's here to show the world that the hybrids are not just animals, but
I'm not an animal.
Human emotions and thoughts and cognitive abilities. That's why he's special. There
okay.
you go.
Okay, here we go. And okay, so the guy approaches the fence when his dad's still alive. He's looking for his sister, Sarah. Is there really a sister, Sarah?
No, that was just a ruse. No, the guy's a bad guy.
It was a ruse. What happens? What happens with the fight? When Will Forte goes to make it safe, he comes back, he says he won't hurt you anymore. What happened?
They got in a scuffle, Will Forte got the upper hand. And he just had to close his mind, and then his arm turned into a knife.
What?
Yeah, it was like liquid metal. And then
what?
Liquid metal?
Yeah. And then he's pierced the guy through the head.
Holy.
But during that, the guy had a little bottle of liquid nitrogen and shoved it down Will Forte's throat.
What?
Yeah.
Polyurethane.
So his liquid metallic body then reacted poorly to the liquid nitrogen and just, yeah, got a really bad tummy ache.
Wow.
And died.
I hope we don't see anything different. I hope that's what we can all take away from this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Those are, thank you. Those are the prediction questions.
They got in a fight. He got the upper hand, obviously, but through it, he obviously got hurt too. Mortally wounded. He just...
Mortally wounded.
Had the upper hand enough to make it back to camp first. So, yeah.
Yeah. There, let's rate it.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
This is the part where we rate the show out of JARPS. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 being it's the greatest thing imaginable. 1 being, you know, it's poor. We don't believe in zeros. We believe in giving people at least 1 for effort. If you put a television series together,
everyone gets a medal.
Yeah, you had to at least have put in enough hard work to get a 1. So yeah, here we go. I'll start. I gave this a 4. I really liked the production value. Really liked the acting. I was interested the whole time. I can't wait to watch episode 2. Yeah, this looks like an epic series. You know, I haven't heard anything at the water cooler about it, but then again, I'm working from home and don't have a water cooler.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right.
You're not talking to anybody. You're pretty shut in.
Yeah. The word, I'm not hearing too much on the street about Sweet Tooth,
right,
you know, whether to watch it or not watch it or what, you know, like when,
Stranger Than Fiction,
Stranger Things and the Tiger Man came out, everybody's talking about it, you know what I mean, you couldn't avoid it,
right,
whereas, Sweet Tooth, I think it's, looks like an excellent series, I heard nothing about it prior, I haven't heard anything about it since, which I think what I'm trying to get at is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I'm just able to experience it on my own without any sort of outside influence or noise. So yeah,
that's good.
A four. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, yeah. Let's.
And I like fantasy stuff. I'm always in for this kind of world, but I know maybe it's just not drawing enough people in. Maybe it's just not creating an audience. I know that I watched the trailer with my wife and I'm like, oh, we could watch this. And I think it was before you had even chosen it. And she was like, nah, that doesn't look like something I'd be interested in. So I think, you know, because of the fantastical elements, people might be just not giving it a try.
Right.
So it might be a slow burn, hopefully. I mean, it seems really good. I also gave it a four.
Nice.
A few things took me out of it. But I mean, it's a ridiculous premise in general. However, like just some of the stuff took me out. Like the whole how does Will Forte have all that equipment? I know he had a really big bag, but how did he do all that fencing? Just like a cabin in the middle of nowhere kind of felt like they had to like fix up the Muppet Theater, which really only consisted of like dusting and moving some branches, and suddenly they had a house that worked. Aside from that, I really enjoyed the story. Loved the characters. That was a really well made first episode.
Do you think that he made the chain link fence?
Didn't he? I thought there was a shot of him putting it together. I'm sure there's a shot of him like.
There was a shot of him fixing it.
Okay.
So
you think somebody before the virus had this cabin in the middle of nowhere and had this chain link fence up already?
I think the fence is a ways away from the cabin. Like
it
it's
is.
Not
there
just,
is definitely
not just
a lot
hop,
of space.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
Right.
I think maybe that forested area had already been fenced off.
Okay. The way they introduced
for
it,
some reason
the way they introduced it was that they came across the cabin first, and then Will Forte gets up into the roof and starts doing some things. He's moving some branches around, and suddenly he's moving a spool in there, and then suddenly he's putting together a fence. So it made it look like it was all part of what he was doing. But you're right. Maybe the fence always existed, and that does make more sense. It doesn't really make a lot of sense that he constructed a 1,000-mile fence around this huge perimeter of forest and fields and all that kind of stuff. But yeah.
Right.
But I can't argue against reality when we're talking about hybrids. So I'll just... I'll just take it.
Got to give the halfies credit.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Temperature check. This is the part where we go back in time and we if we haven't finished off a series, we do our best to struggle through it. 30 coins. I finished it.
Oh, you
it's
nice.
Done. It's done. It's over.
HBO Europe's 30 coins.
Yeah, finished it weeks ago, actually.
Oh, okay, so, good.
I couldn't really tell you what happened at the end. It's just, well, yeah, it's just a big, nothing really got resolved.
Oh, there's going to be
now,
a season two.
It's got to be for, totally. They left so much for season two. His wife took off with the Matrix guy.
His wife? The Paco's, the mayor's wife?
Exactly. Yep. The mayor's wife took off with the guy from the Matrix.
Oh, jeez. Neo.
Paco and Elena were able to flee the city, and it ended with she's wounded and he's trying to get her to a hospital.
Oh my gosh. Hope she's
okay. And I guess we'll have to wait till season two. And Fidel Castro basically pile-drived the devil off of this balcony and fell to his death.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, we'll see if he actually died in season two. Anyways.
We won't, but we will.
We shame. Won't because I'm not going to even start that train.
I won't hold you to that at all.
Thank you. Thank you. But I'm done. I felt a really big sigh of relief when I finished it.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Everybody. Yay.
Hey. Now, what about Shadow and Bone? I forgot to write that down here.
No, that's okay. Yep. I added it in mine, episode four. I probably like this episode the best after the first episode. So the last, this episode two and three, I was having a hard time with. So episode four, I enjoyed. There's a little bit, some montage-y training stuff, some adding some world building history aspects of it. A little bit of some heist stuff that was kind of fun. But I'm feeling they're trying to create a little bit of a blooming romance between our Sun Summoner Alina and the general, which I know is just gonna, you know, because at the same time our real her Alina's childhood love Mal is kind of been separated, and he's trying to find his way back, and they're creating these opportunities for him to find his way back. So, you know, it's just all gonna, as she starts to build these feelings for the general, Mal's gonna make his way back, and he's gonna see it, and oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? So there's
who do you pick, me or him?
Yeah, so there's gonna be a lot of that coming, I foresee.
Any good action sequences and stuff? Or you said the second episode was like all action, didn't you?
There was some action in the second episode for sure, but there was no stakes. So that's the big thing with a lot of their stuff. Like nothing has any really true stakes to it that I don't really have an investment. It doesn't feel suspenseful to me when I watch it, but it's just silly fun.
Silly fun. Did they explain how the boats work yet? Flying on
No. Not that I recall.
Might have to Google it.
How do boats work in Shadow and Bone?
Yeah.
Dear Google. Borat.
What about Borat?
Borat, have you episode two, or three, sorry, I guess, because we did episode one and two. So this one was about mail-in ballots. So they did a little, they talked to Jim and Jerry, the guys, and they just talked about, because they believe that obviously the last American election was rigged and that there was voting fraud. So they're just kind of debunking the concern with mail-in ballots. Yeah. And they talked about the Stop the Steal hashtag and that when all those Americans ran into the White House or the Parliament buildings or wherever that was. I sound smart.
Do you feel like they're connecting with these two guys? Like maybe they're starting to like reach them, or do you think they're just a lost cause?
They don't spend a lot of time on the interviews. So the episodes that are very short already, most of the time it's just kind of just feeding the audience, which is me, and not spending. And we're seeing a very little time spent with Jim and Jerry, so it's really unclear if they're getting anything, because they're always like they meet an expert on Skype or whatever on Zoom, and so you hear them going, well, you know, even Jimmy Carter said mail-in ballots are a fraud, and then it just goes into like not necessarily what the expert is saying, but just what the whole show is saying to me as an audience. So I'm not quite sure where Jim and Jerry are going to land at the end of this, or if anything's really resonating with them at all. Mm. But they seem like nice dudes.
Yeah, maybe hopefully the last episode, maybe they'll bring them back full circle and be like, so like, what do you really feel now?
Yeah, hopefully there's a little Oprah episode or something.
Yeah, did any of this change your mindset, or are you still believing what you believe?
Yeah. A lot misinformed, but they seem like nice dudes, so that maybe they'll be open to it. Last episode we were talking about Mosquito Coast, and I had not completed the first season, and you wanted to circle back to it, because I think one of the beefs I had was the fact that
they never told the kids
why they were running from the law.
So did you finish?
I finished it. Yeah. And they still told have the kids. It.
That's why I said, let's still go back. Cause I think you're going to be disappointed. Sorry. Because they still spoiler didn't alert.
No.
Yeah.
So there's a part where, our protagonist, the dad, is trying to get his way into Mexico. Oh no, they're already into Mexico. They're trying to connect themselves with the group that's going to hide them or whatever. I can't remember how this all went. And he was being tested, right? And so they had the wife kind of in a different room, and it looked like they were going to kill his wife, and he had to tell them the truth. And they said, why are you here? What happened? And he does say he has a story, right? He tells them a story. Do you recall this? He has a story, I think, of him stealing scientific information.
He worked for the NSA.
Right. Is that he has a story, but you can't.
National security.
But we don't really understand if that's a legit story or if it's he's just fabricating something, because it ends up being just a test anyways. But then your theory was that it was something to do with the kids, like the kids were stolen. And of course that came true too. In a way, again, the FBI used it as a way of what do you call it?
Yeah, the baiting, the boy, baiting the boy the is,
girl being the
yeah,
kids.
Yeah. So the boy's been kidnapped.
That's a theory as well, right?
Or who knows? You know, who knows? I mean, these guys, these people, although they're on the run, they seem like they have genuine good hearts. So they must have stole him for a good reason. I think, you know, like right. they were taking him from a bad place to a better place, or you know, quote unquote rescuing him. Maybe.
And, but do you think that's true within this show? Do you think that's true that they really stole him, or do you think that was something the FBI fabricated to get sympathy from the kids?
No, I think it's true.
You think it's true?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they kidnapped slash rescued him from something.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Good show though. Hey, would you're still thumbs up on it now that you finished it?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think it
Hey Russ, I want to watch Mosquito Coast. What do you think? Should I watch it?
Yeah. I would say watch it. I think I don't know if all the decisions that the characters made were clearly justified, or if they were making actions that were just there for the sake of the plot,
made dramatic TV.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. But again, so yeah, fun. I thought it was I'm interested. I would keep.
Well, if that was true, then Russ, in every horror movie, no one would ever go downstairs to check things out, right? You know, like if everyone was just realistic and pragmatic about everything, you know, horror movies would suck.
That's why I don't watch.
But there's always the one that I'll be right back. I'm just gonna go check on things downstairs.
Yeah.
No, he's down there. He's not. Don't. It's okay. I'll be right back.
Yeah. I'm a virgin. I'm gonna go have sex now. That's the worst. Always,
you're a virgin.
Always stay a virgin.
Dead.
Always stay a virgin.
If you say I'll be right back, dead. Yeah. There's a couple other rules, but yeah.
Don't go with a bunch of buddies to a Norwegian
hostel
and take drugs in a valley. And whatever else happened in that movie.
Hostel. Oh, that movie was scary.
Oh, that movie was Hostel?
Yeah, that movie actually was Hostel.
Oh, okay. I was trying to Midsommar. I was trying to recap
Midsommar. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I didn't pick up on that.
Anyways. Good times.
You ready to go back in time?
Back in time.
I'll be back.
All right. This is the part where we go back in time to our childhood and talk about a film, hopefully with similar themes that tie into our review series thingy. Anyways. Terminator 2, Judgment Day. James Cameron's masterpiece.
Is it?
I don't. Well, what is Avatar? Titanic?
Titanic. Avatar. Wow.
Okay. Money wise, it's Avatar, right?
I think Avatar may be his
swan song.
His swan song. Like it'll be kind of like what they remember him by in hundreds of years, possibly.
What about Avatar 2, 3, and 4? Do you think they're gonna remember him for those?
My prediction. Is
that he's never going to finish him?
No. My prediction is Avatar 2 will probably be the biggest movie ever.
Yeah, you know what? When we're all sitting here like, oh, he's making fucking Avatar again. But you know what? It's James Cameron.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't know how to do anything less than give it his all. You know what I mean? And he's always, everything he does, he's always like breaking some sort of new ground. So although we've already been privy to Avatar, I think you're right. I think Avatar 2, even though we've all kind of lost the momentum and excitement for it, I think when it comes out, it's going to be some sort of mind-blowing
I'm not necessarily going to say it's going to be the best movie in the world. I think it's just going to it's just going to break every record.
It'll
just be some gigantic
blockbuster action adventure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll just be some sort of sensory overload. It'll be like in 4D or something like that. You know what I mean? It'll be 3D, but they'll have like stench machines in the corner or like, you know, wind or something, you know, like, so, oh, what's that smell? It's Avatar poo.
I still have a pretty good recollection of getting into the theaters, and we had to watch Avatar. We had snuck in a Mickey, and we had bought like big pops at the concession, snuck in a Mickey. I was going to obviously be, you know, because I heard it was a fun movie. So I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to have a little drinks. I put on the 3D glasses. Movie starts. I didn't touch that Mickey once. Like, I was so entrenched into the world and just enjoying watching someone do 3D really well.
Yeah. No one had done 3D like that. No. Right. Like before, it was always like, you know, they would film it and then they would post-process it for 3D. Or it's like, you know, this might like cool if we like throw something towards the audience or whatever. Like, but James, like, he would frame things for he would focus pull to like that. There's those droplets. I remember those droplets in space, and there was somebody kind of like in like a hyperbaric chamber floating in space, and the depth of field, his focus pulled to the foreground to focus on the droplets. And, you know, it's so well done. And when you were watching it in 3D glasses, you were just like, wow. Like,
to the point, like, I haven't watched it since. And I don't really know if I want to watch it without it being 3D. I feel weird about that.
I've tried watching it a couple times. I don't think I've ever sat all the way through it. You know, I think I've watched it in chunks and all that. But yeah, exactly. It's definitely,
Uh-oh, what happened? What'd you do?
Nothing. I just...
You dropped something.
No, I just hit my cable.
But we're talking about James Cameron's
1991
film, The Terminator.
Enough about Abadah.
Judgment Day.
Abadah. I just remember this movie was huge.
This movie was a big deal for us.
Huge. We were grade 8 going into grade 9 that summer. Okay. So, you know, we were maybe about 13 years old. Huge summer blockbuster, like everywhere that summer, it was just Terminator 2 everywhere. You know what I mean? Like every reference you said was Hasta la Vista or Chill Out Dickwad or, you know, just everything. You know, it was a Terminator 2 summer. I remember watching this movie at Eagle Ridge Theaters. Just blew my fucking mind, man. Yeah. Like, it was like, I don't know. This is maybe this isn't his greatest feat, but man, this has got to be one of the greatest action movies ever made.
And here's my take. It's a comedy with violence because I thought it was funnier than more funny than thrilling. Okay. And maybe that's just like holding up in a 2021 lens.
Like, are you laughing at Arnold? Or are you laughing at the fact that it's a robot trying to learn things? Furlong? Or are you laughing at
him? I'm not necessarily laughing like going, like, I feel like James Cameron knew what he was doing. I feel like he knew that it was a funny situation. So everything from the moment Arnold comes and goes into the biker bar to pretty much every interaction that Arnold has with Eddie Furlong is funny. Like, it's great.
Like, he actually breaks the fourth wall when he's promising John that he won't kill anybody. He looks right at the camera and says, I swear I will not kill anyone. You know? Yeah.
It's just like,
it was a fun movie.
And good for, I mean, some of the best action movies are funny. And that's why action movies, you know, that's why probably Thor Ragnarok was probably the best Thor, because it really tied into the humor and just enjoying ourselves about it. I thought instead of an action movie, I thought it was felt more like a comedy with a lot of violence. The only thing that really held up as far as action for me was the what you alluded to earlier was the claw arms, was the sword arms, how the T-1000 could transform into that kind of liquid metal. But when he was using his arms for something, that always worked. Everything else all kind of didn't really work as far as special effects.
It's a bit dated, but
twenty years.
Yeah, we've learned a lot. I really enjoyed rewatching this. I hadn't seen it in so long, and I was kind of like, "Am I going to enjoy this?" I think I watched this to death as a kid. Yeah. Can I really watch this again? And I watched it, and I totally enjoyed. I don't know, maybe it was a bit of nostalgia, you know, from being a kid, that, you know, but again, I really enjoyed watching it. Again, this movie, I think, has some of the most continuity ever, errors ever in any movie. It's ridiculous. We studied it in film school. There was like one scene within like 2 minutes, like 200 continuity errors or something like that.
It was just done so well that you just
don't, yeah, and it's no just action. People don't pick up on that when it comes to action movies, because even sometimes with editing, they can get away with a lot of things like crossing the axis a lot and shit like that, flip-flopping stuff, but so many quick cuts, it just, you know, people don't retain a lot of it.
I was trying to remember if it was kind of a big thing back then in 1991 that Arnold was the good guy this time, because when the first movie, he's the bad guy, he goes back to try to kill Linda Hamilton, and this time he's the good guy. So I was trying to think about, like, was that a big surprise? So were people going to the theater and going, what? Like, was that the jaw drop? But I think it was actually promoted, like the tagline of the movie on the poster was, this time he's back for good. So I think, and I think the trailer alluded to the fact that he was good this time. So it wasn't as, I was wondering, I'm like, was this like a huge, like, aha moment, or was this a surprise, or was this something that the audience was anticipating? Because they do the mall fake out, right? Like, when both Terminators are kind of coming on Eddie Furlong in the arcade, and they're both walking through the mall, you're like, who's bad? Who's good? The cop seems good. Arnold seems bad. But then, you know, obviously he learns quickly that the T-1000 is the bad
one. I think it was a bit of a aha moment. I'm not too sure. I'm trying to remember. I don't know. They might have. I think they teased
it in the trailer that he was good. So I don't think it was maybe for people that weren't really paying attention.
Might have been word of mouth that wrecked it. You know what I mean?
No, but I mean, even the. Well, yeah, sure. But I think they were the fact that the tagline was, this time he's back for good.
That's a great tagline.
Yeah. Then I think you can pick up on it. But
Linda Hamilton, she got super ripped for this movie, man. She kicked both of our asses with one arm tied behind her back.
Oh, for sure. I had heard that, and I've heard this, probably listened to another podcast, that she was, like, James Cameron was actually pushing for her to be the next kind of action superstar. But I think she got kind of disenfranchised with the whole movie making business and kind of got her way.
Yeah, she took a huge hiatus. And she's been like, I don't know how I came across. She's been celibate for a really, really, like, 20 years, I think.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Not weird, but it's just interesting fact to come across. Well, maybe.
Well, I think she was married to James Cameron, and he totally.
Oh.
He totally, like, fucked her over. I think.
Well, interesting, because this whole new Terminator, the Dark Fate, where she comes back into it, he was an executive producer on it. He wrote.
They've obviously are on speaking terms, but yeah, I don't know. I'll try and dig into it and figure out what that was. But yeah, no, there was some huge drama between her and James Cameron. They were maybe married during this and got divorced after.
I could see James Cameron not being a fun guy to deal with
personally. No, I suppose he's like the worst person to work with, because he's just super demanding.
Yeah.
He almost killed the entire crew and cast on The Abyss.
Oh, really?
You know? Oh, yeah. There's a documentary on the making of The Abyss. It's so good. I forget what it's called, but it comes with the DVD or the Blu-ray
I could make probably the best movie in a decade, but I'd have to work with James Cameron. That's what everyone's thinking. Because if, you know, when you see that resume,
like, this is going to be, they're like, oh, this is going to be hell.
But I will probably be in one of the
coolest movies. But it's James Cameron. Yeah. And if it strikes gold,
this guy makes
cinematic history. Yeah. And I can either choose to be a part of that.
Yeah.
By dealing with him for a year, or I can let someone else do it.
Has he ever struck out? The Terminator,
Piranha 2,
Aliens, The Abyss, Terminator 2, True Lies, Titanic.
The Abyss was a box office flop, despite how much I really liked that movie. as far as money numbers are concerned versus budget, it was not a success.
So he, in 1981, he directed a movie called Piranha Part 2, The Spawning, yeah, which you just alluded to. I'm not familiar with that one. So yeah, that not so good. Not a good one. Have you seen
it? I don't know. I haven't seen it. I can only imagine that Piranha 2 is probably not as good as Piranha 1.
I don't know. Maybe Part 2 is actually the better.
But there is Piranha 3D. Woo! What the hell do you think James Cameron was thinking casting Eddie Furlong in this movie?
I think, you know, when you're a child actor, if he hits his lines, hits his marks, makes his lines.
Do you think he was okay in this? You don't think there was anybody that could have done a better job at than Eddie? I don't know.
I'm sure there was.
I think he was trying to look for someone. I think he was trying, obviously, to look for somebody fresh.
Yeah.
Introducing new Furlong. Yeah, exactly, but I don't know, he didn't wreck the movie for me, but I certainly don't think he hit the mark with Eddie Furlong. So I think he hit the mark with Robert Patrick, though. The bad, he was great. I think you look at all the pieces and the bad liquid metal Terminator Robert Patrick, he was great. Smaller, obviously. You know, he's probably as big as us or bigger, but who knows? But, you know, obviously not in relation to Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he is scary.
Yeah, he came across as, yeah, just as mighty as old Arnold, big man.
I guess he trained really long to run without, to be able to run fast and at long distances without breathing hard, you know, so that he...
Oh, so he looked like a robot?
Yeah, so that he could do all those running scenes without breathing hard. And I guess he had trained so well that he could actually run faster than Eddie Furlong, or I guess the stunt guy, could ride that little dirt bike. So during those scenes in the mall where he was running after the dirt bike, I guess Robert had to ease up because he was always catching up with the... He was always actually catching up with the dirt bike. He could actually run so fast.
That's awesome. How fast can a dirt bike go, though?
That little dirt bike? I don't know. 40 miles an hour?
Jeez, yeah.
40 miles an hour?
Speaking of stuntmen.
I'm sure, I'm sure he wouldn't catch up if he was in fifth gear. But, you know, while they're doing that scene, he had to ease up because he could catch up to him, you know?
That's crazy.
Yes. Sorry, I cut you off.
No. I think Peter Kent was the big stuntman for Arnold for the bike when they're driving through like the big I don't know, concrete. What are those things called?
Yeah, and aqueducts.
The
water,
the aqueducts. Yeah,
he's a local stunt guy, isn't he? From the Lower Mainland. He had his own show on Corus Energy.
Super
Channel. He did stunts.
When I was doing improv a lot, we used to be booked by river rafting tours. So we would like 3-day river rafting tours. So we would join the river rafting tour, and then I think on the second night or whatever, we would sleep on an island. So it would and in the river, and then we would do a show for everyone that was on the boat. And I'm pretty sure Peter Kent and his wife, and I think his mother-in-law, were there, and we talked a little bit about him, being a stuntman for Arnold. But yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure.
Seemed like a super cool guy.
I'm pretty sure this guy's a van. Yeah, born 1957, North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yeah, he made Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame by being in that movie.
Heck yeah! Look at that jump he did on the Harley, man. Guy's a psychopath.
So there was like, I guess they did it was a full regular bike, but they had like a cable connected to it that they had to like wipe it out. So
that's funny you talk about stunt. There's actually one part in it where they are it's from the mall chase. And Robert Patrick's running after the dirt bike, and he finally decides to stop running and jump into a semi truck, obviously. And when he rips the driver out of the semi truck, you should go back and watch this scene. But the stuntman cracks his fucking head on the pavement like really bad, and you can see it. And it's just like, I rewound it a couple times, and you just see this when the stuntman gets pulled. It's kind of the camera's sort of mounted to the semi, and it's looking sort of down at the pavement, and you see the stunt guy fall back, and you see him just crack his head, and it's like, oh, no helmet on, no nothing, and you could tell that it was so real, and it was just like, oh man, I hope that guy is okay. Yeah. And that he got some extra danger pay for that one. Because, like, oh, it's brutal. I'll try and get a clip of it and send it to you. So,
what's your take on this whole Terminator franchise?
I think it just got silly. Honestly, the third one, it just didn't do. I liked the reboot that they tried to do with Christian Bale. Terminator Salvation.
Salvation was...
It was really cool, and they left it totally for a sequel. Like, it had to, it didn't wrap up. They left it open-ended, like, you know, some guy still needs to go get saved, and I really liked it, and it just fell through. I don't know, they didn't get the it didn't do so well, and it didn't catch fire to get a sequel, and it's too bad, because out of all the ones that have been done prior to or past. Post Terminator past. 2, the Salvation is the only one that I like. Yeah. The Dark Fate, the last one, that is absolute fucking garbage.
Oh,
man.
See, that was the one I was actually excited to watch. I was
it's on Prime, go for it. It is just trash. No, it is bad. Bad.
Because I was interested because that was the one that James Cameron kind of got behind.
Yep.
And it looked like it was creating another kind of little bit of a trilogy, but
yep.
Maybe not.
No.
Maybe not. I feel like
it's bad.
The de-aging technology that they're really working on right now, like, this is going to open the door for more Terminators. Like, I feel like we're going to get that 1991 looking Arnold Schwarzenegger back for more future Terminator movies.
Or the 83 one, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly. So they play with it. Like, Star Wars is playing a lot with it, right? Like, with having a Princess Leia at the end of a Rogue One. It's not necessarily successful, but, you know, in a couple of years, it'll get better and better with, you know, maybe it's a different actor, but then they'll Arnold Schwarzenegger's face on it. I can see them using that technology for a movie like this, a future Terminator.
I couldn't help while watching this movie to complete every scene. I was thinking of Terminator 3, Lucky Day. Me and Russ and a bunch of our childhood friends, we made a Terminator 2 parody film. Back the summer that this movie came out, we all got together for one day, and it is 10 minutes of cinematic gold. It's lost somewhere amongst some VHS tapes. I'm sure some Value Village somewhere has a VHS tape. No, I don't know.
In hell somewhere.
It's in some dumpster, or it got magnetically erased, or Russ probably taped over it with porn at one point or something like that.
That's all back then, that's how you had to do it.
Yeah, yeah. You had to go back and, like, oh, I'm all out of tape. I'm all out of tape. Can I record over this? And it's like, oh, yeah. I can record over this. And you go back and Sean, where's my show? Oh, shit.
You get like a Red Cross first aid cover, and you put your VHS in that.
There you go.
No one would ever look. No one would ever watch that video.
Let's go move on to stargazing. This is just the last part of the show where we talk about what we're watching, what's upcoming that we're excited about. Couple things. I finally watched, caught an episode of the Middleton and Schwartz.
Oh, good.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing. I was like, they're like, oh, long form improv. And they got the suggestions. And I knew that the episode was like an hour long, and they're like 5 minutes. I was like, what? And they do a 50 minute improv show. And amazing. These guys are amazing. I love how they don't just stick to the same character, that they can swap characters.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, too. One will start a character, and then the other one will jump in at some point and sort of continue on that character. And I just love how they would share characters. It was so funny. And you know, and when they forget things, they just laugh, or, you know, have we done this yet? Yeah, we've done, you know. Just great. Really, really, really good. Wow, they are super... I had no idea, you know, what's his name in Parks and Rec?
Ben Schwartz or Thomas Middleditch?
What's his name in, what's his character in Parks and Rec? It's like John Ralphio.
John Ralphio, yeah.
Yeah, he's so good in Parks and Rec. Yeah. But who's this other guy, Middleton?
So he was in the HBO show. What was it? Like, he was like about the IT guys. Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he was the main character in Silicon Valley. So I think that's where he got his notoriety from.
Wasn't like TJ Miller in that one?
TJ Miller is in that one, yeah. A lot of big names.
It started some people's careers, that show, did it not? Yeah.
I think so. I think it definitely helped them. Like Kumail Nanjiani is in it. Martin Starr is in it. Mm. Zach Woods are in it. Yeah, so there's lots of like guys that had other have been in other things, but
So yeah, Netflix, this improv, Russ mentioned it. Oh, geez, had to be about 10 podcasts ago, I imagine.
Oh, 10 podcasts.
Middleton and Schwartz, it's funny. Another real funny thing, season 2 just came out, and I binged it, and I almost peed my pants laughing. That Thanks for Watching.
I think you should leave.
Sorry.
I knew exactly
why,
where you were going.
Why am I getting that mixed up? Yeah, why did I call it Thanks for Watching? I think you should leave. Holy cow. I love this guy's sense of humor. It is so up my alley. And I love just the abrupt endings on some of the skits. Like, you're just in tears, and then he's just like, ah! And then it just would like end. And you're kind of like, but it just adds even more to the humor. Like, I don't know. This guy is friggin' funny, man.
He's intense, man.
Yeah. And he's got a very sort of intense humor, and he likes to yell, and I don't know. It's
just... him and so Sam Richardson, who did the, like, in the first season, he did the baby where he was like the host, and it was I don't know if you've seen the first season recently, and then
he does the
little buff boys. So Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson were in a show called The Detroiters. And I think you can see it on Crave. So I think there's 2 seasons, and it's quite good.
The Detroiters?
The Detroiters. So both Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson are in that, and I would recommend it for sure.
It's a comedy show,
It's
obviously.
A comedy show, yeah.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Same kind of, I mean, obviously they're playing the same characters the whole time, but you get glimpses of Tim Robinson in his little bit, like how he just like takes things way too far. It is a lot of screaming, so I find...
Yeah, when you find
it's the best to enjoy that show is probably to just, even though you want to keep going, is just to watch one episode a night. And because I think if you try to do like 2 or 3 a night, it starts to, the humor starts to fade on you a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So I would recommend, I mean, if you've already seen it all, but I mean, then it maybe didn't matter. But for me,
I can see what you're saying. Yeah. Not everybody might. Yeah,
it's a lot of screaming. Most of his sketches are somebody screaming.
Yeah.
Succession season 3, the trailer dropped. And you haven't gotten to that yet, and I recommend you know, there's 2 seasons on HBO right now. Third season is coming shortly, probably in the fall. Get on that bandwagon.
You said that's got a bit of a Yellowstone vibe to it,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, it's like kind of instead of like redneckers on horses, these are like a bunch of city rich folks right. with helicopters.
Right.
Not that I guess Kevin Costner's got a helicopter too in Yellowstone. Yep. But yeah, and I tried to watch Bosch. I kept on hearing people talk about Bosch.
I know what you're talking about, but yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
So I guess they just recently dropped the last season on Prime. And there's probably about 7 or 8 seasons, and yeah, so I tried to give that a go, watch the first season. I don't know if I would recommend it. It's kind of cheesy.
Well, you made it through a whole season though, not just an episode.
I really like the actor in it. I, you know, it was, I wanted to give it a good go. It's cock drama.
It's cockamimi.
Which is kind of cock first, unfortunately, with his kind of attitude. But
What do you mean?
Like, he's just kind of like, my shit doesn't stink. I don't follow procedure. I do what I want. It's that kind of like, which,
rogue,
you know,
cop kind of shit.
Yeah, like rogue cop. And it kind of gets a little tiresome, and it just doesn't really. You're like, dude, you'd be filed in paperwork so bad, and you'd be, you know, you'd be on probation. You'd be on suspension or something like that. It just would never happen. And I think in 2021, the last thing we want to watch are cops being bad. So I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Going off the beaten path and doing their own vigilante justice. It's not working out too well.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of cheesy stuff in it. So I don't think I'll continue it. But I gave Bosch a good go, but nice. won't be for me.
Me and the wife plowed through the first season of The Leftovers. We've started on the second now. Really good. Thanks for the reco. Your man crush Justin Theroux on there. He's just as ripped on this show as he is on Mosquito Coast. So nothing's changed.
He's been ripped for a long time.
Very melancholic. Yeah. It's very sad. It's a very slow burn, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We're really enjoying it. So we've gone a little long today.
Yeah, all right.
We had lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. I think we did good.
I think we did good too.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, love you, man.
Yeah. All right,
later, dudes. Bye.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.